Yes. Yes. Okay, so we're going to go back to this same Gemara that we spoke about last week in one perspective, and we're going to develop a different way of looking at it this week. So let's go back to the beginning of Perek Shisha Asar here, the Hakdama, the Perke Emuna, and Ali Shor. We're going to go through it line by line more carefully again. Last week we spoke about it in the context of Gan Eden being a place before the confusion of life, the Irbuv of Tov and Ra. Today we're going to think about it differently. Says the Gemara, top line. Shabbos Kuf Yutes Beis means 119b, which is where you'll find this. Kol ha'una omein b'chol kocho, a person who responds or declares amein b'chol kocho with all of their strength. Poschen lo, they open for them Sha'arei Gan Eden, the gates of Gan Eden, she'ne'amar. So how do we know that a person who says amein, we open the gates of Gan Eden for them? So they quote a pasuk, and the pasuk reads, Pischu Sha'arim, open gates, V'yavo Goy Tzadik, and the righteous nation will go through, Shomer Emunim. So the words Shomer Emunim literally means those who guard Emunim, faithfulness. But the Gemara has a drasha. Al Tikre Shomer Emunim, rather, Ela She Omrim Amen. That's how we interpret that pasuk, that the people who say amen, they are the goy tzaddik, who are pishu sha'arim, for whom the gates are opened. My amen, what is amen? So the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Chanina, Kael Melech Ne'eman. Kael Melech Ne'eman. So what do those words mean? So Kael, that has a specific connotation which is connected with melech, and then the word ne'eman has a modifying quality to it. So let's start from the beginning. What does the word kael mean? The word ale in the word of chol, when it's translated not in the context of God, means power. That's why when you refer to idols, they're called Elohim Achirim, other powers. People attribute power to those entities, so they are called Elim. So Kael Melech refers to the Ribono Shel Olam in his capacity to accomplish anything in the world. Melech means that nothing stands in his way. Chazal have an expression when it comes to an earthly king, which we can apply to Hashem, Melech Poritz Geder. Melech Poritz Geder means, literally, it means a melech, a king, can break down a fence. That's similar to eminent domain. Nothing stands in the way of the king. If the king decides, you know, today we don't really have this because we don't really have kings, but in the classic model, if the king decides he wants to put a path through your backyard, you can't say no. The king has all the capacity in the world. So on the one hand, we say, Kael Melech, the Ribono Shel Olam rules over everything. He has the complete capacity. And Ne'eman. Now, what does the word Ne'eman mean? Kael Melech Ne'eman. What does it mean? That's a tricky word. And obviously, it relates to the concept of Emuna. What does the word Ne'eman mean? We bless a couple. We give them a blessing. They should build a bias ne'eman b'Yisrael. What does the word ne'eman mean? What's that? Right, faithful, exactly. Faithful has a specific connotation in this regard. It means loyal. What's that?
Reliable.
Right, reliable, loyal. Right, so and what are we saying to them? That they should build a bias ne'eman. They should be loyal and faithful to each other, but also a ne'eman to the tradition. So we say, when we say the word amen, we say that the Ribono Shel Olam, who is Kael Melech, who is the most awesome and overwhelming, incredible, beyond v'chule v'chule, he is ne'eman. He's loyal to us. And of course, we're loyal to him. So it's a profound declaration to say that this God, this force, this endless light that is the source of everything, we know that he is Naaman, that he is loyal to us. He'll take care of us. He's there for us. That's when we say the word Amen. So now, go to the next paragraph. Skip this Marsha. And he points out, Derech Chazalhi, the way of Chazal, Legalos Devarim, to reveal things, Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam, that stand at the center of our world, Dafka B'maisa Katan. Specifically, through the vehicle of something small. You can capture, sometimes, the most profound, most crucial, central issues in life in the small areas, in the small concepts, in the small ideas. So, Amen is actually a tiny word. It's a small action, but it encompasses within it our entire life, that there is a God and that God is faithful to us and we're walking together through life with him. So now, he says, Anias Amen, the response of Amen, b'chol koach hakavana, with all of the intensity of our focus, maisa katan, it is a small action, shel emunahu. It is a small action of emunah. So is that coincidental that emunah and amen is a small action? I would say it's not coincidental, it's actually essential. What do we mean by this? Yes, we're supposed to have emunah, we're supposed to be ne'emanim in our entire lives. But how do you express that? How do you concretize it? Where can you point and say there is an amen happening here? The reverse of that is, Chazal have an expression. They say, Pischu li Pesach, kechudo shel machat. All we need to do, Hashem says to us, just put in a little bit, open the door a little bit, and then I, v'ani eftach lechem, Pesach kepischu shel ulam. And I'm going to open the door wide like a giant French door, double doors, huge opening for us. When I was in 11th grade, I had a Rebbe. Maybe we weren't always paying attention so much. And I don't know if this was the best classroom management strategy, but he used to plead with us. He would say, please, guys, just 2%. I'll do 98%. Just put in 2%. I'll never forget that. So Kivyachol, the Rebbe Shlomo says, just listen to me. Just 2%. Pischu li Pesach, open an aperture that's a Pesach Shomacha. That's a tiny opening. Just do a little bit. That, in my mind, sounds like this Amen. How long does it take to say Amen? It takes nothing. It takes a half a second. So the Rebbe Shlomo says to us, listen, Kol ona Amen b'chol kocho poschen lo sharei gan Eden. Now we go back to the Maharsha. The Maharsha said that there were many doors. Remember, many doors going to Gan Eden, and they open up all the doors. So my first thought when I see this Ma'amar, this statement of Chazal, is we're just doing 2%. We're just doing a little bit, and only that 2%, that's all we need for the Rebbe Shlomo to open up all the gates. Like the Maharsha said, all of the gates through to Gan Eden are open just by us doing a little bit. That's one level that I think the Gemara is trying to indicate to us. At least to me, it's a clear reference to the concept of a Pesach, of the opening, that just a little, that small Maisa Katan Shel Emunah, that opens all the gates. Why? Because if we do just a little bit, the Rebbe Shlomo says, Ani eftach lechem, I'll open it for you. Just do a little bit. That's the first layer that it sounds to me. I don't know if it sounds like that to you, but that's the Poskim reference, I think. Why else would it use that idea of opening the doors? At least to me, it sounds exactly like that other Ma'amar Chazal, that same reference. That's number one. Number two is that the emphasis here is Anias Amen b'chol koach. B'chol koach. Having a total focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time is our goal, but it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. Could we imagine a spiritual life b'chol koach all the time? There are some people who have that. It's a high, incredibly high level. But for us, it's not so simple. But rather, for us, maybe there's a different way. When I was younger, when we were first married, we lived in the Gris Kolel. And I still remember at that time, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, every year used to give a tshuva drasha. And that year, he gave a tshuva drasha, which was now recently republished in a volume. And he talked about mediocre tshuva or tshuva of the mediocre. What's the difference? What's the difference between mediocre tshuva and tshuva of someone who's mediocre? Or maybe we could call that person a beinun, in the words of Chazal or the Rambam, when it comes to the concept of tshuva. What's the difference? Which one is that? That's the latter. And what's mediocre tshuva?
Well, you could do better, but just
right. So what's the difference between those two? Right?
Even though it's absolutely not better, but it's better.
Because it's proportional to what your capability is. That's meaningful. So I wonder if that is the second message that Chazal are trying to tell us with this Amen B'chol Kocho. A person would have to be like Rabbi Ari Levin, the level of tzidkus that's once in a generation to say that they can honestly, and there are people like that, but I'm not there, and I don't think the average person is there, that they could be B'chol Kocho, perpetually focused on their neshama and the godliness that is within them. It's a high level. That's what we're going to aspire to. We're going to try to get there. But is that realistic that we're going to get there every day, all the time? Maybe not. So what do Chazal tell us? They say, look, even if that's not possible all the time, but for when you say Amen, it should be B'kol Kocho. Maybe the Amen is only 4 seconds. Maybe that connection to Hashem is very brief in terms of time. But it should be 100%, it should be meaningful. It shouldn't be, yes, a little bit, maybe mediocre, half, half baked. No. For that moment that we're saying Amen, it should be B'chol Kocho. And when you do that, Chazal tell us that they open all the gates. They don't open all the gates for someone who says Amen in a lackadaisical manner. And you could say Amen 100 times. But if every Amen is just, it's just so uninspired, there's no feeling, there's no kavana, so then it's not opening the gates. What Chazal are telling us is that it's possible for us to do this. We have lots of opportunities to do Amen all day, all the time. We just need to take a step back and make sure that when we are taking that moment of Amen, it's B'kol Kocho. And that's the difference between mediocre tshuva and tshuva of the mediocre. Mediocre tshuva, mediocre amens say that my entirety of my Yiddishkeit is just, it's half-baked. Sometimes it's 70%, sometimes it's 90%, but it's never 100%. It's always on that, basic, very, very basic standard, substandard sufficiency. That's what it is. Tshuva of the mediocre says, look, we're mediocre, which means that sometimes we're focused and sometimes we're distracted. And we're not the first ones. The Yerushalmi tells us that there was one of the Amoraim who sometimes during davening was counting the bricks on the wall. So it makes me feel so much better. I'm not the only one. So we're mediocre. We're Beinonim. So we struggle. So sometimes we're down and sometimes we're not focused and sometimes we're making the bad choices that we come to regret later on. But when we have those moments of Amen, it's B'kol Kocho. And that's not, you see that Chazal, that they say, that's not hypocrisy, that's the nature of being a Beinoni. That's the nature of being, living in this world and struggling and trying to do the best that we can. So,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, we're trying, we're growing, but what Chazal are saying to us is that if we get to this place where that little Amen, and even if it's time-wise so small compared to the rest of our lives, but it's with full focus. If it's b'kol kochel, if that's really who we are, if that really means something to us, that we're going to pay attention in whatever way that amen expresses itself, then posel lo sha'arei gan eden. Then they open all the gates, even though it's a small amount. Rav Kook has a similar idea, although it's a little bit different, but it's similar in this concept in terms of proportion, where he talks about how the Gemara in Brachos talks about a person's apportioning of their time. You know, your idea of your Torah, your spiritual life being keva, and malachto, a person's other pursuits being arai. So Rav Kook says that's not about how much time. You could spend a lot of time doing a lot of things, but that's not the main thing. That's not who you are. That's not how you define yourself. That's not what's your kavua in terms of your focus. So here it's a similar concept. It's that when you say amen, we're not saying amen all the time, but when we do say amen, that's what matters. It's b'kol kocho. And when we say amen b'kol kocho, then poskalo sha'arei gan eden. It doesn't matter what happened before, and it doesn't matter what happens afterwards. We should just make sure that it's not mediocre tshuva. It's not a mediocre amen. It's an amen b'kol kocho. That's the second level. Then I think there's a third aspect here. We're still going with this. The fact that Rav Volbe observes that this is a maisa katan. It's a maisa katan. What does it mean? What is the significance of the fact that this amen is a maisa katan? So perhaps it can mean two things. One is something that we just alluded to, the idea of kavua versus tafel, meaning there are times when we only have a short amount of time for something, but that's really important to us, so we invest a tremendous amount, and that is megale, that demonstrates what really matters to us. So I'll give you an example. So when I used to go to visit my grandmother, so when I was younger, when my grandfather was still living, so my maternal grandparents, so they lived in Florida, and then my maternal grandfather had a stroke a few weeks before my bar mitzvah, and that created a special bond between us. So I used to go visit him, you know, by myself when I was 13, 15. So I would fly to Florida, and we would walk together, and we would spend a lot of time together. And then leaving was always a thing. You're leaving already, right? You're leaving already. And then after my grandfather passed away, my grandmother was living in Cleveland for several years. So we would go as a family, and we would go, even though driving from here to Cleveland, everybody says, oh, it's only 6.5 hours. It was never 6.5 hours. It was 8 hours. It was a huge schlep, but we did it. It was so important. It was so amazing. We went, even when the kids were little, didn't... babies, whatever, we went every year to see my grandmother in Cleveland. So usually we went either Thursday night or Friday, and then Sunday we'd have to go back. So it was always that look, right? That look, like, and my grandmother, Allah Hashalom, she had a sister, her name was Pearl, my Aunt Pearl. So my grandmother always used to make fun of my sister, her sister. Because every time my grandmother would leave, she would say, her older sister, she would say, you're leaving already? So now when my grandmother used to do that to us, I'm like, you know, used to do that. She'd do the same thing to you. So what's the pshat? But the pshat is that you can only come for, you know, a couple days. But those couple days, if it's such a good experience and it's so focused and you're really there, you're really present, what you're saying is, I would love to be here all the time. There are a lot of things that keep me from being here all the time. But the fact that I'm here now is trying to convey to you that I want to be here. Imagine what would happen if I came to my grandmother's house and the minute I walked in the door, I was on my phone the whole time. And then I would be, you know, running out to catch a ball game. Although one time we did go stay at the house and go. She didn't want to come with us. But we used to go out to pizza. Right? What would happen if when I was there, I wasn't really there? So what would that say? When I leave, it would say, you know, even when I was here, I wasn't really here. But when you're there, and you're really there, what does that say about the rest of the year? It says, I'm with you. I wish I could be there. Just practically, it's not shayach for me to keep coming back and forth from Chicago to Cleveland or Florida or wherever. But that maisa katan, that short visit, if it's a meaningful visit, that is megala. That demonstrates that that's what's really important, and that I'm coming back to that. And when I call, you know, 2 weeks later for Shabbos or whatever, that little visit makes you continue that relationship and that feeling much longer, right? If the visit is meaningful. If the visit is not meaningful, then not. So I wonder if this is also part of the pshat in the maisa katan b'kol kocho. If our experience of amen is one that's meaningful, that's focused, that says that I want to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam, then even when I have to say, I'm leaving, and even though the Ribbono Shel Olam says, really, already you're leaving? And we're like, yeah, I have to go. The kids have to go back to school. I got to get back to work. I got to drive. I got to do all those things. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam sees us leave, he knows that when we were there, we really wanted to be there. And so when we leave, it's like we still want to be there, just we can't for whatever reason. When we say Ami B'kol Kocho, it's like that short visit. Right? Think about how we feel when we make those visits or when people come to visit us. Right? How do we feel the next day? If that was somebody who was really paying attention to us, then the next day we still feel good. We feel like, oh, it was so nice. We had a really good visit. Right? So many of us, we've had that experience. And when that person, when we went out to dinner with them and they were on their phone the entire time and they were clearly not present, so then afterwards, we feel like 2 cents. So I wonder if this is the first aspect that the Amen B'kol Kocho opens the Sha'ari Gan Eden. Because what it tells the Ribbono Shel Olam is that when we have that opportunity to get together, we're all in. We're all b'kol kocho. And that's going to show, that demonstrates the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we really want this relationship. Even though the rest of the day we're busy doing all the other things that we have to do. But that little visit, right? It's exactly the same thing. How many weekends a year can you go to visit that special person? How many? Not so many. But if you make that a really meaningful visit, even if it's 1 day a year, every other day, they feel connected to you. So that's one aspect of the Amen B'kol Kocho. And then that expresses something greater. And then there's, I think, a second element here, which is that what happens when we have that visit and it's very powerful and it's very meaningful? Sometimes those little visits, they grow into something more. If you never go and you never have that experience, so you're never motivated to go again, right? But let's say you decide you're going to go just for 1 day to visit that person. Or that person says they're going to come for 1 day, they're going to visit with you. Or they say, you know what, let's go out for dinner. Or let's catch up on the phone. When it's a good experience, when it's b'kol kocho, when it's with an open heart, I know, at least in my life, what do I usually say when I hang up the phone, when I get up from the dinner, when I get in the car? Same line. Nachum will tell you the same line. We should do that more often. Right? We say that all the time. And because we do those little things, then we say, you know what? All right, so let's plan the next time we're going to get together with them. As friends, as relatives, as all those. It's the same story with Ribbono Shel Olam. Same exact story. When we say Amen B'kol Kocho, that can have a ripple effect. When you have that very strong, that ne'eman, that experience that is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we'll say, oh, you know what? We could build on that. We should say that amen another time. We should find another opportunity. Right? In the first mahalach, it was that this little amen, it reveals something about, and it demonstrates and expresses something about the overall experience that we're going to have through our life, even when we're not there. In this approach, it's saying that we're going to build on that amen. And an Amen B'kol Kocho can have a cumulative effect. Because when you do make that visit, when we would schlep all that way, and we would spend that time, it was so special, especially now, this past 2 weeks ago was my grandmother's first yard site, you don't have that anymore. That time is gone. That'll never come back. So when you do make that visit, it motivates you to make the next visit. And maybe if you can't visit, maybe you realize, you know, I have to call a little bit more. Or I have to send a letter, or a package, or pictures of the kids, or whatever that is. The more you make time for those little opportunities, the more you build on them. And perhaps that's exactly why there's a reference here to Sha'arim Mechitza Lefnim Mechitza. Maybe the pshat, and this is a homiletic interpretation, you could take it or leave it, maybe the pshat in the Maharsha, that what happens is you say Amen B'kol Kocho, what does it mean that they open all the gates between here and Gan Eden? Is that, well, this Amen is going to open the first gate, and then you're going to realize, wow, that was a very good experience. Now I can open the next gate, and the next gate. But if you never said the first Amen, you know what's going to happen? You'll never get there. Because you'll never realize how good that is and how important it is. You'll never build on it. So you're right. If you try to open all the gates at one time, it's never going to happen. You say, oh, I have this friend. I haven't seen them for so long. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take off 3 weeks from my work and my family. I'm just going to go spend time with them. 3 weeks. Forget it. It's ridiculous. That's not happening. But what if you say, you know what? We're just going to FaceTime once for 20 minutes. We're going to make a time that we're going to reconnect. After that FaceTime, you say, you know what? I'll call them before Shabbos. But it never happens unless you get the first foot in the door. Then you go and you open the next and the next. The Amen is a Maisa Katan. It's a small action, but that opens the first gate. And then you say, oh, that was really powerful. We're going to open the next gate with another Amen and another Amen. It's the Mitzvah Gereres effect, right? It's one after the next after the next. It's post Lakol Sha'arim. Yeah, that was a hand.
Yeah, it seems like a bigger impact is on the person who has to say the bracha. Because like if you're in shul or whatever, obviously it's really easy to say Amen, but in my own life, like I don't have the opportunity to say Amen that many times. It has to be that someone made a point to say their blessing over a food out loud, which is like a consciousness that, you know, you get sort of in this like room group and a bunch of people. But mostly people don't say bracha like that. So it's kind of like a awareness that if I understand the power of Amen, then I'm going to make more of a point to make a better bracha. And then if all of a sudden you're making a bracha out loud, someone say Amen, then what's the likelihood of you're going to then like have a totally like Lashon Hara type conversation? You know what I mean? Like it elevates the whole meal.
Absolutely. Which is interesting, maybe just if I'm understanding it correctly, Wendy's point is that the concept of Amen is related to the word Ona, you're responding. It's not just, it's true that if you make a bracha, b'kol kolcho, that's a very powerful experience. But as you're pointing out, amen is a responsive point, right? So it's either in the context of davening, which is usually where amens are going to be found, or it's in the context of other brachos. So one element here is you're not going to get an amen unless you look for it, unless you listen for it, which is a whole nother perspective. But the other point is that if you're making brachos out loud and the other person is then responding amen, it's a reciprocal experience. So it actually really does snowball because it involves other people. Is that the point? Yeah, I hear that. And that fits with this last idea that the maisa katan, the small action, has ripple effects. So to summarize, what I was thinking today, as you can hear, is that this small statement of Kael Melech Naaman has these multiple different levels. The first one is that it's poschen lo, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, if we do just a little bit, so he's going to give us a huge opening. But by the way, what does that mean? He makes a huge opening. He opens all the gates, but we have to walk through. Right? They can open the doors from today till tomorrow. If we don't take that amen and play it forward in our lives, so then it's just going to sit there. We have to get up and go in. So that's the first thing, is that we do a little bit of that Kel Melech Naaman, they open all the gates, and now we're going to go in. But the idea of the Maisa Katan, the fact that it's a small action which can have very significant impact, exists on these two levels. One is that when the Maisa Katan is B'kol Kocho, when the small action is with your full heart, it's a full experience, we're totally focused, then that demonstrates that that's where we really want to be. And that's going to have the ripple effect on the kind of experience that we have the rest of the day. It's the same way that we have that good feeling after that visit, and that shows the person that we want to be with them the whole time. So too, when we say Kel Melech Naaman, we connect with Hashem. So we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be with you all the time. And then the second aspect of that, the third level of what we're saying, is this idea that we grow from each small interaction. And that one amen, if it's b'kol kocho, has the capacity to open the first gate, and then the next gate, and the next gate, and we can keep growing. And then the fact that it's interpersonal, that the community involves others, enables us not just to inspire ourselves and to go from there, but also to inspire others. So I hope we have an inspired day and a great week. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, we're a little over time today. I didn't pay attention. Okay, have a great day.